broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
The United States Senate knocked down a filibuster aimed at blocking a final vote.
Dylan, when this bill passes and becomes law, life...
I know exactly how that feels.
Who are these people and what do they do?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what in the hell it's talking about, where we take you through the looking glass of talk radio each and every night. And don't forget, coming up on Wednesday night, we have a Phil Hendry Christmas Carol for you, midnight, Wednesday night show. We want to thank Jay Santos for an unprecedented two-hour visit with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, where if he made sense... Somebody out there must be understanding him and now has a new lease on life, because I didn't understand a thing that guy said.
Well, but he did. He left Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah, what about that? Are you guys high? Rocky Raccoon?
Yeah, but the beat? See, you understand something, man. That's what Manson, you know.
So what if Manson listened to the White Album? You trying to tell me because a guy named Rocky calls my show, and then this nut says that, oh, hey, Rocky Raccoon, it's on the White Album. There's something heavy going on there. Having to do with Obama?
Yeah, but you wouldn't even let him play the song, so.
I'm not going to listen to Rocky Raccoon for 3 minutes so that this jackass can tell me it's got something to do with the Obama healthcare plan. Anyway, actress Brittany Murphy has, as you know, passed on, and there is just a little bit of new information. I think the autopsy has been completed. There was a toxicology report that is due out. I listened to some of the audio that was sent down the line today that we're going to be playing for you this hour, and there are some stupid people out there. But maybe I'm taking it all really a little bit too personally, because I worked with her on King of the Hill, and all of a sudden, it's interesting, you guys know this if you know somebody, and people start talking about them, suddenly it has a certain resonance. All right, so our number 877-876-PHIL.
Why don't you tell them about Phil Hartman, too?
What about Phil Hartman?
You worked with him, too.
I did a commercial with him. All right, I don't want to talk about it. Get out of here. 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhendryshow.com. If you want to watch the show, watch us perform our show every night, you can do that by going over to our website, philhendryshow.com. You can see our video. You can listen to our audio. It's a beautiful thing. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. Go over there, comment, you know. I also have my own personal Twitter account, which is The Real Phil Hendry on Twitter. That's twitter.com, Real Phil Hendry, and then Facebook/Phil Hendry. So there it is.
There's a lot of social networking. It's...
I don't get it, man. I don't think it helped that much.
You got to do what you got to do. What do you want me to, do what you got to do, man?
Got to do what you got to do.
I'm going to belt you, man.
No, I agree.
All right, let's take a look at the news that we haven't gotten to, the news that has nothing to do with Tiger Woods or healthcare. How about that, huh? All right, this is one that went viral today in terms of a YouTube video, and I got to tell you, this is bizarre, and it's a little frightening, and it's stunning. It's stunning to me that this would even take place, because I've always said to people, yeah, I know, cops back in the day, they were the old Irish cops or the old, the old school guys. Maybe they took out the billy stick and started beating up people before they actually got their name and address and phone number and sent them a Christmas card. But hey, that was the old days. We have a new breed of professional police officer. Well, in Washington, D.C., the city's police chief has slammed a veteran detective today, or yesterday, it being Monday, for pulling a gun during a mass snowball fight that had been advertised on Twitter. Metropolitan Police Chief Kathy Lanier said she watched video clips from the confrontation and has no doubt the off-duty detective pulled his gun after snowballs hit his personal car. During Saturday's record snowfall, the detective was also hit in the face with a snowball. Said the police chief, let me be very clear in stating that I believe the actions of the officer were totally inappropriate. She said this in a statement after the video made the rounds on YouTube. In no way should he have handled the situation in this manner. The video also the videos, I guess there's more than one, also show a uniformed police officer holding his gun by his side before holstering it. Police said in a statement Sunday, that he was responding to a call about an armed man, the detective. That officer acted appropriately and did not point his weapon at anyone, according to the statement. So you have a detective in the midst of this snowball melee pulling a weapon And then this cop comes out responding to reports of an armed man. And so the cop has his gun out, a uniform cop, and the armed man that this cop is responding to the actions of is another cop. It sounds very confusing, and I'm going to give you my take on this, and I don't know, I could be wrong. Later, I'll tell you what. Lanier said the detective, whom she did not identify, did not deny the accusations. He's on desk duty until an investigation is complete. Hundreds of people gathered for the snowball fight on a major street after organizers used social network sites such as Twitter to advertise it. One video posted on YouTube showed a man holding what appears to be a gun in the snowy street. Another video shows the same man telling people he is Detective Baylor, and he pulled his gun because he was hit by snowballs. At one point, the crowd began to chant, "Don't bring a gun to a snowball fight." Let's listen to the audio from the video, and it's pretty illustrative. There's a lot going on there, and I wonder if this guy encountered this mass snowball fight and thought there was some kind of a riot going on. I don't know, but we'll find out. One thing's guaranteed, though. People involved in this snowball fight are now going to feel so just utterly, you know, self-righteous about the whole thing. Wait till you hear the people calling this guy a pig in this video here, and there's some woman, some pain in the ass, who probably posted the video, who's saying, "How do you spell your name, Detective Baylor?" Anyway, here is Reason Magazine caught a detective pulling a gun at a snowball fight. So I guess this woman works for Reason Magazine.
This dude has a gun in his hand. He's driving a Hummer, and people are throwing snowballs at him. Does not seem like a good idea in any way, dude. They are still doing it. This guy's laughing. Are you kidding me? We're about to get shot. This is bad. Do not shoot anyone over snowballs. Please. I'm telling you, that is not a fun plan.
I apologize. You're going to hear a woman later, but it was a dude holding a camera. So he sees this cop come up. He's got the gun. In this clip, we hear the detective confront some of the snowball throwers. In case it's not obvious, the bleeps in the clip are used over "F you pig." This is not the police officer cursing, and it's not excusing his behavior. I just thought you should know that.
Throw another snowball. Throw the snowball.
You pig.
Yeah, you need a lot of goddamn backup, and your gun's out? Yeah, you idiot. Shoot somebody with a snowball.
Throw another snowball.
Get back up on the curb. Get up on the curb. Get on the curb. Goddamn snowball on the curb.
Your car, pig.
He's
got a gun. Yeah, he's a moron. He's got a
snowball. So this guy's getting hit with snowballs. There's a bunch of people that are, you know, really pissed off that this cop shows up with a gun and all they're doing is having a snowball fight. You can hear all those cars responding. And the cop, it sounds to me like he's confused as to what's going on, to be perfectly honest with you. Or we could all just say that he is a crazy cop and he really takes it personally when he gets hit with a snowball and he never should have been a cop. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. I could see a guy driving up on something like that and going, "What the hell is this?" And maybe people are getting assaulted. He doesn't know. Anyway, here's an unidentified officer who tries to placate the snowballers while the crowd tries to identify the detective.
You all out of the area. We don't feel safe with him here.
I'm sorry, sir. Not going to do that. I'm going to ask you guys, you can go back to the snowball fight, all right? You guys have a problem with it, you all go down to the third district station, ask for his supervisor, all right?
What is his badge number?
I can do.
What is his
badge number, sir?
Turn the camera.
What? So we can report your ass for pulling a gun at Detective Baylor, okay?
Detective Baylor?
Okay. Pulling a gun in a snowball fight.
Yes, how do you spell it?
I got hit with snowballs.
How do you spell your last name, Detective Baylor? How do you spell your last name, Detective Baylor? Get his license plate number.
Whoa, shut up. Anyway, so that cop's in a little bit of hot water, if you'll pardon the expression, because he pulled his gun. It was a snowball fight. Sounds ridiculous. Sounds like he never should have done it. You can hear that one cop saying, okay, talk to his supervisor. You know, that one uniform cop is saying, go ahead, go on with your snowball fight. But whatever it was that triggered this cop to pull his gun, like I said, he's either the most paranoid and easily riled and easily ruffled and should never be a cop kind of a guy, or he thought something was going on that wasn't going on. Nonetheless, he's got trouble and probably should have known what was happening, probably should have assessed what was happening. Nonetheless, I think what initially got him out of the car and got the gun out was because he got hit with a snowball.
So he's pulled again. What's wrong with that?
You got to pull a gun on a guy because he hit you with a snowball.
Are you nuts? You never know. You never know.
Never know what, man?
What if they had a gun?
What if who had a gun?
The people of Snowball.
What if they had a gun? They didn't pull a gun, man. They had snowballs.
You understand, man? They had a snowball. They had it. Yeah.
Well, then shut up, man, because that's all they had were snowballs. If they pulled out guns, then I guess the guy would have had a right to pull out the gun.
Yeah, but see, forget it.
Yeah, there you go. Forget it, because you got it right there, bud, you idiot. 877-876-PHIL.
I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, you are. If you're talking smack like that, like this cat, he's pulled a gun on a bunch of snowball people, okay? So just live with it, dude. We'll be back here. We have other crazy-ass stuff. MSNBC host Rattigan apologizes for his rude interview. You heard it on the show. We played it for you. He acted like a complete ass to this congresswoman, wouldn't shut up, was getting all pissed off about this, that, and something else. Another guy, U.S. Representative Alan Grayson, has asked U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate a website because it made fun of him. Grayson, you know what? You got your 15 minutes. Go away, you ugly freak. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You're not an idiot or anything.
You say that, man. You said you're no gun.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
You know, just talking about that cop in D.C., we were talking about it during the break. You know what? Now I see the cop's point. That video only shows a little bit of what happened. It doesn't show anything that led up to him getting out of the car. The video shows the guy getting out of his car, and then he gets hit full in the face with a snowball. And I heard a lot of people calling pig this, pig that. Now, I don't know what this guy drove up on or what he thought he was seeing, but he's getting out of the car, and then he gets hit. And then pulls his gun, you know. Does he know it's a snowball fight? Does he think it's a riot? He's got 100 kids staring him down. And so we officially, on our program, now endorse that police officer's actions, and we think he should have started shooting.
All right. Yay.
Perfect. I'm kidding. But I will tell you this, and let's start looking at the whole video, okay? You people that put your clips up on YouTube thinking it starts here and it ends here and everything else, thank you, Michael Moore. Thank you for your selective use of history. It's taught a generation how to bullcrap with flair. 877-876-PHIL. Now, what were we going to do here, man? Oh, wait a second. I had the story about Rattigan. No, I know what I want to do. I want to do this jackass, this Grayson here. Grayson files complaint over website.
Yeah, right here.
I got it, man.
All right. It's number two.
Give me that, will you? I got it.
Get the wrong one.
No, I'm looking at it right here. Grayson files complaint over website. Now, you know Representative Alan Grayson? He's the guy that said what he said. And he was the guy that was saying, why don't we work together? Why don't we come together to have a great health care bill? Why do these douchebag Republicans who want everybody to die over the age of 80, these people who want to bring back Auschwitz, these people who want to bring back the death camps of Nazi Germany, who want everyone to just, you know, give up and lay down in the street and croak, why can't we come together and work together? That's pretty interesting, right after you basically compare people to Nazis saying, look, let's, you know, shake hands and let bygones be bygones, huh, pal? All you did there, Grayson, was piss off a whole lot of people, man. They ain't going to sit down and break bread with you if it's the last piece of bread on the island. U.S. Representative Alan Grayson, now get a load of this. This is a beautiful thing. U.S. Representative Alan Grayson has asked U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate the website mycongressmanisnuts.com. And he recommends both a fine and a 5-year jail term for the website creator. This is according to Fox News, Channel 35 in Washington, D.C. So keep in mind, it could be complete bullcrap.
You think so?
Yeah, I always like to tell people, you know, Fox, you know, it's biased. So is CNN. Grayson, a Democrat from Orlando, accuses the creator of the site, Angie Langley, of misrepresenting the website and a corresponding fundraising committee in documents filed with the Federal Elections Commission. Now, Langley is a Lake County Republican, aha, and political activist who resides outside of Grayson's congressional district. Langley's website launched to raise money against the congressman is a parody of his own website, congressmanwithguts.com. On the website, mycongressmanisnuts.com, visitors are invited to donate money to get rid of Alan Grayson and boast that as of December 18th, 92 donors had contributed $3,725 in 2 months. In comparison, Grayson's congressman with guts.com has raised considerably more over the same period, approximately $514,000.
What did he worry about it for?
I don't know. See, that's the thing, Grayson. I mean, she's making about as much noise as a ripple in a toilet bowl. What do you care? Anyway, in his letter to the U.S. Attorney General's office dated December 15th, Grayson notes that Langley is not a resident of his district. So he says, by choosing the name My Congressman is Nuts for her committee, Ms. Langley is indicating that I am her congressman. I'm not her congressman. I have never been her congressman. He doesn't know that, does he? Ms. Langley is deliberately masqueraded as a constituent of mine in order to try to create the false appearance that she speaks for constituents who don't support me. This is fundamentally deceptive and fraudulent. Here is Alan Grayson, if you don't know who he is, on the House floor a few months back as he interprets the GOP health care plan.
The Republican health care plan is this: die quickly. That's right. The Republicans want you to die quickly if you get sick. Do you want the Democratic plan or do you want the Republican plan? Remember, the Republican plan, don't get sick. And if you do get sick, die quickly.
That's why people hate his guts. Well, some. Because, you know, and it's one thing to use that kind of language. It's another thing then to turn around and say, come on, baby, you're holding up the process. You're not working with us. I guess he was pissed. But sooner or later, you got to get over being pissed. You got to go back in there and you got to work something out, right? I guess they haven't. I guess they don't need to. The Republicans don't want any piece of this legislation. And I was going to tell you something, not that this has anything to do with the Grayson story. And Grayson, he's a lightweight. What are you going to do? I mean, he got his feelings hurt. You know, he's got a tender ass. You know what, baby? Just forget about it, man, okay? She's raised $3,000. You got a half a million. But you got to understand some guys, down through the course of time, individual political parties in our country have acted, quote-unquote, insane many times. Many, many times. And they've said things like, this is going to destroy the country many, many, many times. One of the funniest things I ever hear these days, our country is at a crossroads that it's never faced before. Oh, the hell we haven't. We have political parties in this country who have a history, Democrats and Republicans I'm talking about, who have a history of trying to create hysterical reactions in people. World War II, the Republicans were all about isolationism until the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And even after that, they wanted to investigate Roosevelt because they thought he started it. And finally, when the death camps got opened up, they went, oh, okay, we get it. The Civil War, you know, the Democrats said that if they take away slavery, that's why that one dumbass in Congress said, you know, I think it was Reed, he compared it to the, you know, the slavery issue. Well, it was a very inartful way of doing it. What he should have said was, throughout history, we've had people spreading fear and panic about different issues. And Republicans and Democrats have done it repeatedly over and over and over again. I've seen it in my own lifetime. So when we hear people say that this is going to lead us down the path of commie this and commie that, one thing that I always take to heart is that I don't live in communist Russia. I live in America. We have elections every 4 years, elections every 2 years. We have political parties. It's not going to happen. You know, I told you guys once before, and I'm going to say it again. The problem we got in this country has got nothing to do with a police state. It has nothing to do with Big Brother. It has nothing to do with the government taking over. It has nothing to do with people intruding into our lives. Nothing whatsoever to do. The problem we have in this country, and it's happening right under our noses, we don't get it, is we are going in the opposite direction. We are headed toward a kind of controlled anarchy where nobody trusts anything. Everybody's got an uninformed opinion about something. People are going off half-cocked, acting on these opinions. Nobody's getting any information. And so we are demanding our right to be stupid. That's basically what we're doing in this country. We demand our right to be dumb, you know. So I got a bet that by the time this health care legislation gets passed in some way, shape, or form, it will resemble a good old-fashioned American health care bill, and it won't have nothing to do with Canada or any of those other countries. So everybody ought to take a cigarette break on that. We'll be back. Citadel has filed Chapter 11. One of our broadcasting compatriots, they're going out of business just like GM. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. And we're here in our final hour, and on Wednesday night in our final hour, the Phil Hendry Christmas Carol. That's right.
I'm going to be in it.
Yeah, you're going to be in. A lot of people are going to be in it. The Phil Hendry Christmas Carol on Wednesday night. You can see it as well as hear it if you log on to our website, philhendryshow.com. So that's going to be happening Wednesday evening. And, of course, we want all of you to have a happy holiday, whatever the hell it is to you. Yule, Christmas, maybe you know, pagan, some kind of a pagan deal. That's cool. And I was on Facebook this week, and I said, you know, atheists, see, I got this philosophy. There's no such thing as an atheist. I just don't believe it. You want to know why I don't believe it?
Why?
Because of the DNA, baby. DNA.
What does that mean?
It means the following. Since man emerged from the muck, right?
Do you believe in evolution, then?
Just shut up, bud.
Shut up.
Since man emerged from the muck, since we became a sentient being walking upright and looking around, we've believed in the supernatural. We believed in the sun god. That was the original god. Before there was Jesus and Muhammad, we were sun worshipers. That's what we were. And so we've believed in gods. Now, that gets burned into the neural pathways of the animal brain. And when you talk about hundreds of thousands of years, well, you know, I mean, we're talking 100,000, 150,000 years since we became like Homo sapien. And that gets burned into the brain, burned into the brain. You can't just wake up one morning and say, I'm an atheist. It's impossible. Now, you can say it and say, but I'll tell you why I believe that's true. Because every time I say that to somebody, they always get pissed. If I say it to an atheist, they'll say to me, I'm an atheist. Well, I'm sorry, I really don't believe you. What do you mean? Well, I don't believe it's possible to be an atheist. They get pissed. And it proves I'm right. Because they get really reactive. They get, they're insist. You have to believe me. Why don't you believe? Does it matter whether I believe you or not? Well, like, why? Yes, it does matter. Because if you don't believe I'm an atheist, well, it's still, I'm not going to infringe on. Yes, you will. You'll infringe. You'll keep pushing. I believe in separating church and state. I agree with you. I'm just saying, I don't believe you're an atheist. Why? You know my soul? No, I don't know you, but I know the human animal. And the human being cannot be an atheist because the human animal has believed in the supernatural for so long. It's like saying that I don't find campfires fascinating. Everybody does. Everybody sits around a campfire and stares at a campfire. No one says, that bores me. No one is bored by a campfire.
What's that got to do with knowing about the sun god and stuff?
Because we're all fascinated by campfires because of that animal mind that we have, that ancient memory as a race we have of sitting around a campfire and staring at it because that was the only damn thing we had.
Yeah, it's like the original television. What?
Oh, bud, don't you get it? Do you like campfires?
Yeah.
Then that's why. So you can't just be something you're not. Anyway, the reason why I bring all this crap up is because the atheists would probably be a lot happier if they just said they were pagan. You know, just because a lot of you clowns, you do that winter solstice thing. Well, where the hell do you think that comes from? It's pagan. It's like a whole bunch of gods. So just do that. Just say, well, I'm not an atheist, but I don't believe in one god. You believe in 16 or 17, right? Yeah, okay, cool. Yule's for you, man. That's the pagan thing, right? All right, just one more thing on healthcare. Then we're going to get to Citadel Broadcasting, which owns ABC Radio, has filed Chapter 11. And this is a very, very important and key story. Though it may not be important to you, I use it as an example to you, one of many that we've presented on the show, of the American business executive, the American business leader, not the government, not the taxes, not the unions, not the laws, not the restrictions, not the codes, not the EPA or the IRS, the basic leadership in American business is gone, man. I don't know where it went. It's gone. People drove these companies into the ground. Tom Harkin said on the floor of the Senate...
laying on the floor?
Yeah, laying on the floor in the Senate. He said that health care is an inalienable right. Now, I support the health care reform initiative, but no way is health care an inalienable right, Senator Harkin. Are you high on some mixture of chemicals, man? What are you talking about? It's not an inalienable right. What if we don't have any hospitals or doctors? What if for some reason we run out of money? What happens to our inalienable right then? You name the basic rights that we have. Right to bear arms, right to free speech, right to free press, right to religion. None of those things require money to be exercised. I have the right to defend my home with whatever I can find. If I can't find a gun, then by God, I'll find something else. Maybe I'll make a gun with gunpowder or a slingshot or something. But if I don't have, a whole lot of money, there ain't no health care, man. So what do you do about the inalienable right then? Are you crazy?
I don't understand about having money and stuff.
If you don't have enough money, do you get to have health care?
No.
But if it's an inalienable right, then you should have health care, even if there's no money, even if there isn't enough money to afford it, even if we go bankrupt, right? So it's not an inalienable right.
Oh.
God. All right, now we'll move on here to Citadel Broadcasting. So, three things. A, it ain't an inalienable right to have health care. B, whatever the hell else I was talking about. And C, here's Citadel Broadcasting. Now, Citadel Broadcasting Corporation, the nation's third largest radio broadcasting company, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection on Sunday in an effort to restructure its hefty debt load as it continues to face declining advertising revenue. Citadel owns and operates 224 radio stations, including KABC in Los Angeles, WLS-AM in Chicago, WABC-AM and WPLJ in New York, KGO in San Francisco, and so on and so forth and like that. Citadel's WABC is home to several syndicated hosts, including Don Imus, Rush Limbaugh, Joe Scarborough, and Mark Levin. In documents filed in U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York, Las Vegas-based Citadel listed total assets on October the 30th of $1.4 billion, and they got a debt load of $2.46 billion. So they're in the red by a billion. The company said in a statement it has reached an agreement with more than 60% of its lenders on a deal that would erase about $1.4 billion in debt in exchange for control of the company. Our business will continue as usual, and the company will work to emerge from the restructuring process as quickly as possible, said CEO Fareed Suleiman. Citadel has retained turnaround specialist Alvarez and Marcel North America LLC as its restructuring advisor. Now, I'm reading you a news story, and there's a lot of facts and figures, but I'm going to tell you what goes on behind this. Why am I reading this story? Why am I reading about ABC Radio? ABC Radio, bankrupt. Now, I'm telling you people something, and you know this. Everybody listens to the radio. Everybody listens to the radio. We have iPods. Yeah, I know. People have iPods for music. The radio is the most pervasive medium in the history of the world. It is everywhere. It's places television can't go. It's places the internet can't go. And when the power fails, like it failed in San Francisco during the earthquake, and the reason why I bring that up is I remembered thinking, wow, this is heavy because there's no power in San Francisco. A lot of the TV stations aren't on the air, but people are getting their stuff from where? The radio. You got to have electricity for the internet. So, what's the problem here, folks? The problem is the same problem they had at GM, and it's the same problem they had at WorldCom. You know, I was watching a thing on World. You guys remember WorldCom? Remember back in the day when WorldCom? You remember that? Bernie Ebbers. You remember this guy? This man's story is a case in point of what's wrong with Fareed Suleiman, because I'll tell you something, Fareed, if you're listening, man, if you got a job when this thing's over with, there's no God. There's no God. Forget there's no God. Now there, I'll become an atheist. Right there.
You just said it's burned into your head.
Yeah, how you do that?
I'll tell you right now, if Fareed Suleiman is still running ABC Citadel, there is no God. He's the guy that drove him into the toilet in the first place. Same reason why Wagner's gone. People can bellyache all they want about Obama this, Obama that. And let me tell you something. Obama did GM a huge favor getting rid of that Wagner. Huge favor. This guy Ebbers, when he was running WorldCom, he had a business that was smoking hot. He was making more money than you can count. He could have bought countries with the money that he was making, right? Okay. It was 1998, 99. You know, things were smoking along. Everything is, it's just beautiful. WorldCom had bought MCI. Their stock was going through the roof. People had stock options. It was a beautiful thing, what was happening at WorldCom. Mr. Ebbers, and here's the first mistake they make. Mr. Ebbers, not thinking of the future, because none of these people have any vision. They don't know what's going to happen next year. They don't care. They want to make as much money as they can right now. And when next year arrives, hopefully, they're on a plane to Brazil. They're retired. So they don't want to think about it. Mr. Ebbers, at the height of all of this earning, decides he wants to go out and live the good life. Well, of course he should. But, you know, a man's got to live within his means, don't you think? Even if you're a multi-millionaire, don't you think you should live within your means, whatever that means, those means?
Yeah.
All right. He went out and he bought the world's largest ranch in Canada. Then he went out and he bought a whole fleet of yachts. Then he went out and he bought another thing. And then he went out and he bought another thing. And then he bought a hockey team. And he bought so much stuff that he had spent quite a bit of money. Well, that's fine if you got it. He's using his stock options. But guess what happened? The stock price began to slip around 99. You remember the dot-com bubble burst? Well, guess what, Bernie? You got caught in the middle of the fast shuffle of the corporate boogie-woogie, man. You're all in a heap, Jack. So now here goes the stock price down into the toilet, and this guy's in hock all of a sudden. So he goes to the board, and he says, I need money. And the board authorizes, and he owed $480 million. All right, that's, you know, life. WorldCom board says, all right, we'll give you $480 million, Bernie, to, you know, but we gotta shore up the ranks here, man. Look at this stock. Oh, no, 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 don't worry about it. The stock, it's a momentary, momentary. Well, you guys know what happened. WorldCom went from a high of $80 to nothing. I mean zero. There were people who had bought at 10 bucks a share thinking, well, at least it's got to get back to 15, I mean, and they were wiped out. So now this guy owes $480 million. He can't pay this back for lover money, can't pay back the board. He's about to get his ass fired, and what does he do? This is where stupid becomes criminal. Now, stupid, well, Fareed Suleiman, Rick Wagner, we can list the names of stupid. When you're stupid, you're stupid. You should get fired and you're done. And now let's get somebody in there that knows what he's doing and let's kick some ass and let's get this company up out of a hole. Well, this guy, Ebbers, was not only stupid, but he now crossed the line into criminal. He brought in a guy named Scott Sullivan, who was his CFO. He said, we got to start showing a profit. And we got to start showing a profit now, so I can start finagling some more loans so I can pay off this thing. And this guy Sullivan, I guess being of a like criminal mind, began to cook the books and showed what should have been operating expenses, capital expense, which basically means you pay it off over a long time. If you're laying down lines for a telecommunications company, you pay for it every month. You pay as you go. The way you and I operate our household income and debts. This guy was paying his actual operating costs as a capital cost, so he's spreading it out over 2-3 years. It was a lie, and the SEC got wind of it, and the IRS got wind of it, and Bernard Ebbers went from being just a dumbass who ran a great company into the ground. And let me tell you something. You know, if the guy was smart, and if he knew what he was doing, there was a way to save WorldCom, even with the crash in telecommunications going on. There was a way of spreading out. Maybe he could have sold the company off, parts of the company. There was a way of saving the company at one point where they could have existed, perhaps not as flush as they were at one time, weather the storm and come back stronger than ever. But this guy had spent so much of his own personal income, he had to take a loan from the company, he busted the company out, then he cooks the books, then he gets arrested, and guess where he is today?
Prison.
Right. Now, I don't know what causes a Bernard Ebbers to become a criminal, whereas Rick Wagner just sits there twiddling his thumbs, or Fareed Suleiman sits there with his thumb parked up his ass. I guess those two guys ought to be grateful they're not going to jail, but it's the same principle. Let's make a whole lot of money now. What are you going to do in 2 years, man? When Bill O'Reilly's contract, which you paid a lot of money for, and everybody knows that Bill, and God bless you, Bill, you're great on TV. You were lousy on the radio. Everyone knew you were lousy on the radio, and that's just all there is to it. What are you going to do after you pay all that money to Bill O'Reilly, and you get a whole bunch of advertisers excited about being on his show, and they pay a whole bunch of money to be on his show, and you made all that money, Fareed? That's fantastic. But guess what? In 1 year, when Bill O'Reilly's numbers come out and they look like hell, which they did, and that's why he left radio, not because he wanted, the cat wasn't making it. Now what do you do? Well, let's hire Whoopi Goldberg or whoever. Sooner or later, you run out of big names that are going to con advertisers into buying airtime. And now you got to go back to something that you don't know anything about, Fareed, hiring broadcasters, actual real radio talent. You don't know anything about that. That's why your company is in the toilet. We talked about this. I was on Bubba the Love Sponge. You remember? You called him Bubba Sponge?
Well, I know now.
Yeah, well, we were talking about on Bubba's show. I said, same thing at your company, Bubba. It's serious. You know, I don't want to talk crap about your boss, but the fact is, Karmazan paid all this money for Martha Stewart. She's not a radio broadcaster. That's why SiriusXM is $400 million or whatever the hell it is in the hole. And that's why their subscription is falling. And that's why they suck. Because they haven't got executives that know how to do the job. So that's why Citadel is gone. And that's why we are desperately in need of a generation of broadcasters in this business. And God knows who know what they're doing, and God knows if we will ever get them. Sirius stock at latest count, 57 cents a share. That's fantastic. 57. Citadel stock, 0.01.
That's a penny?
Yeah, that's one penny. Yeah, because it's got to be, it's a penny stock. Wow. World famous Phil Henry Show. Aren't you guys glad you're not in my business? I'm glad I'm in my business. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Time now for the stories we couldn't get to. And we're playing Rocky Raccoon because Rocky Raccoon somewhere because Bud insisted.
Yeah, you gotta play this because of Manson.
Got nothing to do with Manson, man. We had a caller on the show tonight named Rocky. Jay Santos was on from the Citizens Auxiliary Police and thought there was something significant about having a caller named Rocky. So he immediately goes to Rocky Raccoon from the White Album and says, aha, that's the album with Helter Skelter. It's a Manson plot. Anyway, Athens Clark Police in Athens, Georgia are looking for a woman who destroyed $1,000 worth of perfume at a store after being told she couldn't return items without a receipt. The Athens Banner-Herald reported Monday that police said the woman pushed over a large plastic display stand holding several hundred sample-sized bottles of perfume that cost $3.50 each. A clerk at Joy Joy Beauty said they told the customer she couldn't return several items on Saturday afternoon because she didn't have a receipt. They said the display stand broke after the woman pushed it and every bottle of perfume smashed against the floor as she stormed out of the store and drove away in a green van, license plate, I don't know what it is, but find that woman. Las Vegas police say they have arrested a 69-year-old man who was caught on video throwing paint on Sin City's famous sign welcoming tourists to the Las Vegas Strip. Police spokesman Bill Castle said Joseph Peter Pepitone. You know, there was a first baseman for the Yankees named Joe Pepitone.
Yeah, whatever.
Joseph Peter Pepitone of Las Vegas was arrested and booked into county jail on a misdemeanor property damage charge. A local Fox television crew filming a segment about graffiti Friday morning caught a shirtless and barefoot Pepitone throwing red paint on the front of the Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign. The paint hit the first U in Fabulous, then smeared through the word Vegas. Pepitone earlier told the Associated Press that he was planning a healthcare demonstration while wearing a barrel and a Santa Claus hat. He didn't mention defacing the sign. Yeah, what does that got to do with it? I don't know. Jim Madigan is running for state senate in Illinois, and about 40 supporters were attending a fundraiser at a Northside gay bar when Leo Smith made a surprise appearance. As I looked, I thought, God, that looks like my opponent's husband, Madigan said. He looked a little disheveled. He took a while to put some sentences together, so that was a little bizarre. Madigan said Smith sat quietly at the... What is this about, man? Madigan said Smith sat quietly at the bar for about an hour, went into the men's room, and then charged out with fire in his eyes and began bullying him. So the drunken husband of, I don't know. And finally, a Wisconsin teenager will need legal permission to date girls for the next 3 years after he was convicted of fleeing to Tennessee with his girlfriend in a stolen car. 19-year-old Jordan S. Christensen of Appleton was sentenced Friday to 1 year in jail and 3 years probation. The county judge, John Desjardins, has ordered no dating of the opposite sex without permission of your probation agent. But guys of the same sex, not a problem.
All right.
World-famous Phil Enby Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from the El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.